when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Welcome to the Hashtag Get Merry podcast, helping you live your healthiest, your happiest, your most merriest life possible. We're your hosts, Emma and Carla Pappas, aka the Merrymaker Sisters, aka the Merries. So are you ready? Let's get merry. This is episode 89 on the Hashtag Get Merry podcast, and we are back in the studio and we're super duper excited because we have our good friend Bronny Ware joining us in the studio today. Hello, Bronny.
Hello, Carla and Emma.
Hello. We're so excited that you're here and so grateful for driving up from lovely, is it Tweed?
Down that way.
Down south, Byron, that area, or north, or wherever she lives, in north some west, east, we don't know.
The north coast of New South Wales.
and where do we live? We don't know.
We don't know. No, we do. Everyone knows.
Oh, gosh. If you haven't heard of Bronny, where have you been? Have you been under a rock? Because she is the amazing author of one of my favorite books, actually, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, which we've got some questions to ask about that. But also the new book, Bloom, which has just come out, and it's an amazing book. I'm up to chapter 17 and I'm already hooked on it and I can't wait to read the rest of it. So let's get into the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I know, when did we first hear Bronny? Did we even meet when we saw her talk on stage at the Hay House event?
No, we were just like captured by
I know.
You.
And you laughing our heads off. You were so funny.
Well, I was in my element because I'm amongst authors when I'm at the writer's workshop.
Yeah.
So to me, it's just like hanging out with a bunch of mates. So I get a bit carried away with my humour sometimes.
Well, we definitely liked it a lot.
So The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, that was your first book, right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah. And we would love you to share with our listeners, I guess, the overall story of how you came up with that book. And then I'm going to ask you what the top five regrets are, and we can get into those a little bit, but then we can get into some other stuff.
And then we move to Bloom.
Yeah.
Sure. sounds good. Before we do, though, I'm going to just change direction. When you said that's when you guys met me.
Yeah.
When I first really paid attention to you was when you posted your rainbow raw cake on social media and somehow it came up on my feed, and I hadn't started following you, but I saw it and I was looking to do a birthday cake for my daughter's third birthday. Yeah. And I was never one of those mums that could do, you know, the Elsa Frozen skirt thing and full of flour and sugar and everything. And so I was looking for this really great, you know, I made it as a birthday mama sort of cake. And so I saw that one and so I did that. And it was such a hit at the birthday party.
Aww.
The kids loved it. All the adults, you know, wanted to know. And I'm like, oh, that's the Merrymaker Sisters. That's so cool. And so from then on, I followed you guys because I don't just follow everyone as much as there's so much good stuff out there because I'm very clear about the time I spend online. So I want it to be stuff that sustains me or makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was from then I started paying much more attention to what you're about. And so thanks for the raw rainbow cake.
Our pleasure. I love that cake.
Super fun cake.
Yeah. I feel like it's very now as well. Like we should probably share it again because it's kind of like, you know how everyone's posting about unicorns and magical things?
Yeah.
It's quite a magical
It's like
cake.
The unicorn food.
Yeah.
You have to specify that.
Unicorn food. A unicorn and unicorn food is very different.
Food that unicorns would eat. They would definitely eat the rainbow cake.
I even wore like a rainbow wig and a rainbow shirt that day at the party.
Fun.
I did
a rainbow party.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just a fancy dress party. So I went as a rainbow. Yeah.
That is so cool. That is a great fancy dress costume.
I love that.
Yeah, rainbow cake, rainbow mama. Yeah.
That's the best.
Sorry, I've digressed.
Oh, no, I love digressing.
I think it's
digress
all about
all you want.
All about the digress. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the use, yes, right.
Yeah, it'll do for us.
But
okay. I do want to go into this well, story.
I think, okay, like, sure, what was so amazing when you spoke about your writing store journey, I guess, yes, on stage, was of course like how many people have read your book. Like, it's just, I mean, we were just sitting there as learning, young, like, gosh, we have no idea what we're doing. We want to write a book. And we're like, this is like the most epic thing ever. Like, how many people have read that book?
About 1 million. Yeah, with a movie a movie in the pipeline.
Like, oh my God, I'm so excited about the movie.
It's, you know, I'm growing into that idea. It's pretty surreal, I guess. Mind you, I have nominated Chris Hemsworth as my love interest, I will just say.
Can we please make sure that happens?
Yes,
and if it
we
does,
need
I
that.
Need to come to the filming.
And just hang about.
Yeah, like, we could be like your assistants for the day, because you need to be there, right?
Well, I'll just be hanging about myself.
Yummy.
Have you nominated someone for yourself, or we're not allowed
yes,
to tell
I have,
that?
But I have.
It's a secret.
Say,
it's a secret.
Yeah, someone whose work I admire greatly, and she's a lot like me in the sense that her work's well known. I mean, she's much more well known than I am, but she just lives a regular life and doesn't sort of schmooze the big limelight.
Mm. I love that.
So I figured that she would be able to grasp my character. Yeah, it was pretty strange. The scriptwriter, when she was developing the character of Bronnie, she read the book like 5 times.
Wow.
And doing this character analysis of my brain. I
just
felt
gosh,
so intruded upon. But she came out the other side with a really good a really good summary of me, and just said I'm a gentle rebel. And it was like, yeah. Oh, maybe a sensitive rebel, one of those things. But I just thought, oh gosh, she's got it.
Yeah.
When I read your book, that one and this one, like, I think it's crazy because I met you before, like, just briefly on the stage, and then I read your book before we had lunch.
Yes.
And so I felt like I knew you, and, like, when we met, I was like, I've got all these questions. Like, are you vegan still? Like, what about this and what about that? And I think it's so amazing that you are so open at sharing everything. Like, is that hard?
Yes, yeah, I sort of consider myself, well, I do consider myself as a very privacy-loving introvert.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
My best mate, who's known me since I was 11, she said to me one day, and which part of yourself do you actually consider private anymore, Bron?
Like, yeah.
You know, you've shared your whole world, your whole life with the world. But for me, it's not this calling to or this yearning to share myself. It's a desire to honour my heart, and my heart calls me to share.
Yeah.
So that's why I do it, and I do it so openly, because I think, okay, it stretches me every time I share anything, including 2 incredibly personal memoirs. So it really tugs at me, and there's times I think, oh, do I really have to share this?
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that if I'm creating a life free of regret, I have to honour what my heart is calling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart is calling me to use my life as an example for others.
Mm.
And so if I'm going to share, then I'm just going to be a completely open book. I don't want to have to filter it and think about it later and think, oh, did I say that bit in the book or didn't I? I just think, if I'm going to share, then by covering all aspects of life, or, you know, obviously, I probably keep a little bit for myself, but which I do, I have to. But if I cover most aspects of my life, then there's something in there for everyone.
Mm. Yeah.
People will relate to some part of it. If they don't relate to being ill, you know, they'll relate to the challenge, or they'll relate to the longing for home, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I think everyone's kind of craving this connection, aren't they?
Yes.
And it's like you sharing this is helping so many people. So it's like, of course you want to do that, because you are like such a loving and caring person, and you can tell that like that. It's like that's why you do it, I guess, to connect with people and to just help them.
And to that's right, to help us all get connected.
Yeah.
And I think that's possibly the success of it all, because I have just been a real person that people relate to. And the more we can be vulnerable and just be our complete selves,
yes.
The better the world is on every level.
Oh, yeah. It feels so good when you be yourself.
Oh, it's easier. It's just, you know, there's no work. You don't have to go back and undo stuff and make an effort or, you know, it's not like when you get home and you ditch your bra and, you know, you just think, oh, I can be myself. I mean, I've got a bra on, okay. But,
I'm always like no bra.
But sometimes just like sports bra. Like yeah, I'm just gonna leave.
Pretty
my
much every
bra.
Day sports bra. I actually can't remember the last time I wore a bra. I got real bra.
Whoops. But we've got to be ourselves. You know, you've got to be comfortable.
In who you are
and in what you're about.
As soon as you start being someone else or like not 100% being yourself. It's just start. You get that icky feeling, don't you?
It's too hard.
The bad thing is, or the hardest thing is that sometimes you don't realize until months have passed, and you're like, oh, like I've been acting this way around this certain person, not being 100% myself, and now I feel this unease in myself.
Yeah,
and it's like you kind of need to like dig deep and like go inwards
and return to who you are. Yes. So
how do you do that? Like you have like your book is kind of this service for many people. Like, what about you? Like, how do you get self-connected? Yeah.
Well, I try really hard not to lose it anymore. And one of those gifts, one of the many gifts of working with dying people, has been that I really have let go on, you know, so many levels of what people think of me. And so I've learnt to be really gentle and kind with myself, and this is who I am, and there's days I know I could do it better or differently or whatever, but I'm pretty much showing up as who I am now, and I didn't always. I was very withdrawn and found it easier to say nothing than to actually be myself.
Yeah.
But the more that we can face death, and this is – I talk about this in Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, the more we can face death – then the more courage we have to be ourselves because we let go of what other people think of us, which is about the first regret as well. So the first regret was people wishing that they'd had the courage to live a life true to themselves, not the life that other people expected of them. So, you know, we're so shaped and you know, unconsciously and certainly unintentionally, we can be so shaped by what other people think of us, and we can step into those other roles and put on those other masks. But as we deal more with death and face death and consider that our time on this planet is limited and every day we get up is one day less of our lives, then we actually find the courage to strip away all that nonsense and think, hang on a sec, this is my life now. There's no second chance. I mean, there might be reincarnation later, but, you know, you could come back as a dog. So you don't know.
Or an ant.
Yeah, you've got no idea. Yeah. Or you might come back in a different body that's not going to do the things you want to do.
And you won't remember.
Well, chances are you won't. Yeah. Or if you do, you'll forget by the time you're one.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, so, you know, the more that we can talk about death and we can face the fact that this is an incredible gift we've got and it's right now and it's happening now and there's no – practice, this isn't a practice run, this is it.
Yeah.
Then the more it gives us, we can find the courage step by step to really step up into our best self and our most authentic self. So for me, when I go out there, you know, a lot of times when I've been at events, especially in Europe, because in Europe I'm pretty big over there. And so people have come up to me at events and said, oh, but you're so real. And it's like, well, what else can I be?
Yeah.
What else am I going to be? You've just it's just not worth it for me, for my energy, to be anything else. And I might have been more successful. I might have had a bigger following if I was a great networker and schmoozer and out there playing the publicity role and that public role. But it's not who I am.
Mm. Yeah.
I just like hanging at home and reading books and totally having one-on-one conversations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you won't find me out in a crowd in high heels.
I think that's so refreshing though, like to hear that, because you are a huge, amazing success and you've done that by being you. Like you don't have to be a certain way to be successful.
Yeah.
Like it's just about being you and sharing your truth. Like that's what you've done. Like you followed your purpose and the successes like come from that.
Yeah, and I mean if anything as a takeaway from today, that is a really important point, that we don't have to be anything other than ourselves to be successful. That's where the biggest chance of success is, in being ourselves, not in trying to to step up and be anything else.
Like that's our magical power, isn't it?
Yes.
Just being, because no one is exactly like you. No one is exactly like you. I mean, we're kind of similar, but we're very different. We're very different. Yeah. And I mean, like as a team, it's like, boom, like amazing. But yeah, like it's so weird how we kind of go through, I guess maybe it's like the schooling, like, I don't know, like how we grew up, where we put all this stuff in our heads and our hearts where we shouldn't be who we really are. Like we've done it. I clearly like, would through business, but as a kid as well. Like I always remember worrying more about what people thought about me, and I still go back into it every now and again.
Yeah. And maybe it's just our you know, primal innate want, desire to have a sense of belonging.
Yeah.
You know, it could just be that even as young children, you know, I have a 5-year-old and you guys have met her and
she's so cute.
We love her. So like, where is she?
We're like, do you think she's going to come today? No.
Oh, no. She'd have taken over.
I know. Dancing on the table.
Yeah. But, you know, even with her, she'll say stuff that'll be about looking like other people, and I'll be saying, but you don't want to look like everyone else. Like, because she's got this golden curly hair. She wants to grow it long like Rapunzel. It's like, the poor little thing has been growing for like a year and a half. Still hasn't got past shoulder length because it just gets curlier
beautiful.
And curlier.
Look how long it is.
I know. We wash it in the bath and she's got a head. Measure it now, mummy. Measure how long it is.
That is the best. I know. But isn't that insane? Like, yeah, so young.
That's right. She wants to be like all her mates. Here I am as the opposite in her mother saying, what do you want to be like everyone else? Yeah. Oh, you don't want that. You don't want that. And then I just think, no, let it go. This is part of what she has to do.
Yeah. And it must be some kind of natural instinct. Yes. And I mean, like, it does feel good to belong and I guess, connect. And sometimes we might put that as like, okay, we need to be like each other.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's connection. But actually maybe you just need to communicate more and like connect on that deeper level and accept everyone as individuals, and then it's like, yes, feel good.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I guess we have to go through it to know it on the other side. There's a big difference between knowing and doing.
Yeah. Yes. You have to experience it sometimes. And then, of course, like then you have stories to tell, like when you do go through that stuff. How long were you looking after people who were dying?
About 8 years. I took about a year out in the middle of it to do certificate 3 and 4 of music at TAFE.
Oh, yeah.
And so while I was doing that, I was the singer-songwriter of an evening.
Mm-hmm.
So, I looked after – I went into it because I'd come from banking corporate background and I wanted a job with heart. And so I took on a job as a living carer, and the first woman I looked after became terminally ill, and that led me to the agency I was working with said I handled it well. Did I want more work in that field? So little did I know that it was going to be so much a part of my calling.
Yeah.
But even while I was doing it, you know, I was writing a journal a lot of the time because my patient would be asleep. I was caring for them in their homes. And you know, I was writing a journal and it was more just about my own transformation. But I saw my work as a carer, and then I'd go out of a night and gig or on days off and do the songwriting circuit around Sydney and then Melbourne.
Wow.
And I saw them as two separate things. And I had no idea that all this work I was doing with dying people was actually going to be my main creative birth.
Amazing.
I just think that's so crazy.
Yeah. No skills are lost.
You don't know.
No.
Like, no, you didn't know.
I saw them as two completely different lives. I was doing caring work to earn so that I could earn money to be a singer-songwriter and get my message out, my creative message out there. Yeah. And I loved my work and I devoted myself completely to my patients when I was with them.
Amazing.
But then I just saw it as completely separate. And then after I started burning out and getting really tired of it after a lot of years, and I wanted to work where there was hope. So through one of my patients, a friend of one of my patients, she had worked with Philanthropy Australia or in philanthropy. She'd sort of run a lot of big things in within the philanthropic world in Australia. And so I said to her, I wouldn't mind setting up a songwriting program in a women's jail. And I'd never taught before. I'd never been inside a jail, but somehow the idea just popped up. And And I wanted to work where there was some hope. And so she said, okay, well, you know, if you looked after this patient the way, and the patient I was looking after was really hardcore, like a lot of hard work and very, she'd been a boss and was used to bossing people around. And I had to actually get really firm with her a few times, like, no, we're not going out without your jacket on today.
Yeah.
No, it's Melbourne and it's winter and I'm not taking you out if you're not going to put your jacket on. And so she ended up, this patient and I ended up having a really great relationship because I was strong enough to deal with her. And this friend of hers said, if you dealt with her, you can deal with anything. I'll help you find the funds.
Wow.
And so I ended up getting funding for to teach in this jail. And so after I did that, soon after I got that up and running, a music magazine asked me to write an article about it, and I did that, and then I wrote an article about teaching in the jail. And then when I was writing it with a pencil, with my pen, with a cup of chai beside me, I thought, why aren't I writing more? I love writing. I'll start a blog. And so the blog was called Inspiration and Chai. And so so then I thought, well, what do I write about? And I got this very clear, intuitive guidance, write what you know. And I say that to anyone who's a writer, write what you know. Don't try and write what you think the audience wants. Just write what you know.
It's so true.
Yes. I mean, that's your expertise. Yeah. So I thought about what had had the most profound effect on me during all my years with the dying, and it was their regrets and the anguish and despair of their regrets. So I wrote the article, and then I kept teaching in the jail, and then I started burning out big time, and I was living in the Blue Mountains at the time, and then I moved up to the mid-north coast and rented a little cottage on 2,000 acres.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was just beautiful, right by a creek with lots of frogs and stars and everything. But I burned out there big time and went through depression. So it was an amazing healing journey and a big lesson in receiving that I had to go through because I'd just given and given and given.
Yeah.
And so the article was out there, but it didn't really take off until 6 or 8 months after I had written it.
Really?
When I actually, after I'd gone through that burnout. And then I actually said to Life, righto, I'm ready to get on with this now. What's the next step? And boom, the article just took off. Like,
Was there something that someone shared it or somewhere?
Yeah. I had put it on an article site and then the Harvard Business Review.
Wow.
And then it got slammed in the Financial Times from that.
Wow.
Yeah, and then a friend of mine in England who I hadn't seen for 10 or 15 years emailed me and said, Bronny, where? I can't believe it. Your name's in the Financial Times. They're bagging you like crazy, darling, but don't worry, you know. And then from that.
Wow. So they're bagging you.
Well, because the second regret is I wish I hadn't worked so hard.
Yeah.
So then it was this editorial about how dare she say about, you know, you shouldn't work so hard. A lot of us, our work keeps us going and we love our work and da-da-da. And as I said, you know, when people started asking about it, don't shoot the messenger. I'm thinking,
wait a minute, like who actually said the regret? Yeah, the dying people, like.
And the men who had been like, these are who are bagging me and had said, oh, you know, I really stuffed up here. I didn't, you know, it's okay to love your work, but you've got to leave space for other things.
So
from that it sort of took off, and then an agent contacted me, asked me, did I want to write a book? And I said, well, I've always thought I'd write a memoir, and the only way I can do that is write about the five regrets is to show how it changed my own life, because it had. And then she tried to get it published and couldn't get it published after 25 rejections or something. And so I just thought, oh, well, I was an independent singer-songwriter, I'll be an independent author. And so the book, the article in the first year, it had over 3 million views.
Oh,
and then in the first 3 years, it was like 8 million. Now, you know.
Oh my God. That's a lot of views.
Yeah, and I'm just in my tracky jacks on this farm.
Oh my gosh. And it was just, and it was, you posted it and it was just sitting there for.
Yeah, 6 or 8 months.
That's amazing. Like, and it was just waiting.
And until
at the right time.
Until I was
ready. That's so magical and amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. And all this international media is coming my way.
Gosh.
I'm just, you know, in my tracky jacks on the farm.
And so then, so you share the article, the agent tried to get it published. 25 rejections, you decided to self-publish.
Yes, yeah. And so because the article was still going ballistic and people were, would write to me and say, can I post it on your blog, every time they wrote to me, which plenty didn't, they just did it.
Yeah.
Naughty, naughty. But, you know, those who were kind enough to ask and they reposted, I'd say, yes, but here's a link back to my website.
Always,
and
yes.
So I just changed the box at the bottom and said, based on this article, Bronnie has now written a book.
Yeah.
And so the book then started taking off as well and then got a really great review in The Guardian. I love The Guardian in the UK. They have they've done so many good things for to support my career.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, yeah. So they wrote about it and said it was heart-wrenching. And so that sort of gained all this momentum. And by now it's you know, I've written the book and everything. It's a year or two after the article had first gone out. And I was in labor about to have a baby and it's just going ballistic and I'm doing interviews from my hospital.
Oh, bed. My God.
Just thinking, this is ridiculous.
You're like, how did I end up here? Yeah.
And I was getting all these emails saying, have the foreign rights been sold for this country?
Oh my gosh. Just like this massive journey, adventure,
and
amazing.
In the meantime, I've got boom, the babies kicking and the labour pains. Oh my goodness. And so, yeah, it was just the timing of it was pretty crazy. And
insane.
So I had just said to all of the inquiries I didn't know how to deal with, we'll get back to you when we make a decision.
Yeah.
We being me.
We, the team.
Me and Emma.
And our mum. Yeah. And our VA.
Yeah.
But it's a big team.
I do have a team of two now.
Yeah.
In those
that's
days
a big
I
team.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the night before my daughter was born, I had my laptop on the hospital, on the bed, and I was doing interviews to all over the world.
And
people were trying to get my phone number, and I always guard my number, always have. And one of them had done an interview where I'd house at a friend's place, and they kept the number on file, that's the word of warning. And so they were ringing her at like 11 o'clock at night saying, we have to interview Bronnie Ware. And she's saying, she's in hospital having a baby. And this is a mama who'd birthed six kids. So she's you are not getting past
like,
me,
who do
brother.
You think you are?
Far out.
So in the end, you know, I just did as many as I could, then shut the computer that night and sent out a really strong prayer and said, send me help now because my baby's on her way. I won't do this anymore. It had taken 14 years to get to this point, I forgot to say, 14 years of trying to make a living through the creative path. And so, you know, I'd been growing into this readiness all that time, first as doing photography and writing inspirational quotes to go with photography before that was the normal thing.
Wow.
This was before the internet and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then photography, then music and then the book. So, you know, I had given everything I had to it, but I also knew I was 45, I was giving birth,
wow.
I was very blessed to conceive naturally and quickly, I was going to be a mother, I didn't want to be, I had to be present with my child, so I was actually ready to let go of the career completely.
Wow.
And the next day I got a phone call from Hay House offering me an international publishing deal.
Wow.
And
thank you.
Thank you.
Happy days.
Yeah. Looking like a right dag in my mum's 90. You know, there was heaps going on at the time when they rang. It's not always as you know, polished as it seems.
Yeah.
And and so because I'd had all these contacts about foreign rights, as soon as I got out of hospital, I just forwarded all those emails. It was just beautiful. And as a result, the Five Regrets of the Dime became the fastest foreign rights seller in Hay House history.
Wow.
Whoa.
All the work was there and I just so had awesome. To send it on.
That's such an epic story, and I think a big takeaway for everyone listening is that, you know, things don't happen overnight, and even though other people have this overnight success,
it might seem
overnight, but it never ever is. It's a lifetime of work.
You had an overnight success and it took 14 years.
Yeah,
but it was still that overnight.
Yeah, and like everything in the lead up is a contribution to that massive successful thing.
Yes, yeah, and I write about this a lot in Blue. Yeah.
Yeah.
My new book, Timing and Readiness, a huge, you know, catalyst in things arriving in your life.
And do you know what I love? Like when I hear you talk, it's all about, you know, that intuition and like all and like
that's the work.
It's just this this knowing this path is here and you've just got to like live through it and see what comes your way and be open for everything and anything.
Yes.
And I think that's extremely inspiring, especially for I know we've been caught up in it in like, you know, the go-getter. Sometimes it's just like just surrender, just stop.
Mm. Which like this is a tale of courage, surrender and breaking through upper limits.
There you go.
So and I think even when you were just telling your stories now, Bronnie, like there was a lot of times when you said you just stopped and you just surrendered and you just like you waited. Like it's like an example, the article, it was you wrote it 8 months prior and it was like you just surrendered it to the world. So, let's talk about Bloom now. How like tell like what is this book filled with? Like, there's pages.
Well, it's another memoir and it picks up where Five Regrets finished. So if you've enjoyed Five Regrets, you'll enjoy following this story. But if you've not read Five Regrets, this one stands on its own as well. Mm-hmm, and I was very clear about the cover being different and everything because it's actually my favorite book. It's much stronger. It's very I think it's more powerful. When Five Regrets went out, it's still unedited. I just put it out. I couldn't afford an editor.
Wow.
So I was drawing on like 1984 high school English at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I didn't see any mistakes in the book.
Well, they may or may not be there. I had one friend read it through. He was a high school teacher.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I just put it out there. And because Hay House wanted to catch the wave that I'd created.
Yeah.
Because the editing process can take a year. Yeah. They didn't want to miss that. So it just got put out there without editing. So for me, then I've written another book in between Your Year for Change, which is 52 short stories because I was ill and had a baby and I just couldn't give it, you know, a full book the attention. And it's really beautiful in its own right, that book, and I'm very proud of it considering where I was. But it's sort of been like the poor, neglected middle child in a way because
I'm the middle child. Oh, my God. It's all right, sister.
Not neglected.
No, not neglected. Definitely not.
But when I look back over Your Year for Change, I really love it. And I just think it's such a sweet, beautiful book for what it is, but it had such big shoes to follow with Five Regrets, and I just wasn't well enough to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after my daughter was born, within a few weeks of all of that happening with the publishing contract and the birth, I was then I had some aches in my hands and feet and couldn't shake it, and within sort of 5 or 6 weeks I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. So I ended up going on this massive healing journey. So for me the three are sort of entwined because I've never had the baby or the success or the disease without each other.
Wow.
And so had it not been for the success of Five Regrets, I may not have been able to surrender so much to the healing journey through RA as I've been able to. And yeah, so even though a lot of Bloom is about that journey, it's not only about that. There's other things in there. There's romance in there, and there's
oh, I haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
Oh gosh, Sean, that's
very
excited. Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Love a good romance.
And there's also because I've moved around all my life, and there was that longing for home, and maybe just losing sight of what my heart really wanted, and falling for this type of home I wanted, and then stripping it away and realizing, hang on a sec, simplicity is actually more important to me than anything, and a simple life and a simple home is more important. So what Bloom teaches is that no matter what the upheaval, and we all have them, it doesn't matter in what form it comes to us, that it's given to us from a place of love to bring us into our best self.
Wow.
So you can, like I use the example of me with illness, but that's only to show how hard it can get before it can turn, but to also show how perfect the journey actually is in order to bring us into our best self and to make us, you know, as grounded and as kind to ourselves as we need to be to move forward and give our best self to the world.
Yeah. Well, in the end, you know, we're always going to come across and be impacted with bad things. Like that just happens.
Sure.
Like, and we can either like have this perspective that, oh my gosh, my life is over. There's no point. This is too hard. I give up. Or it's like, okay, what's going on? How can I be in the best position to just go through this and learn what I need to learn and then fingers crossed, hopefully, because I'm thinking positively, come out the other end and be in a better place than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all of us have said at some stage, what's the point? And we probably will again.
Yeah.
But, you know, on days like that, rather than try, like another thing I do say in Bloom through about surrendering is we can also get caught up in always looking for the positive and we actually need to allow ourselves to feel the sadness or the anger and the grief or whatever.
Yep.
And so on days when you sort of think, what's the point? It's like, okay, well, today is a day I may not actually be able to find a blessing. I can look around, find things to be grateful for that will elevate my mood a little bit. But maybe I just need to have a day off trying today.
Yeah.
And just be, go out, get some autumn sunshine, go and do something.
Totally.
And then the next day you can find the blessings or you can take the next step forward. But we need to be gentle on ourselves and surrender to what it is, to the experience that we're going through. But then it's also up to us how long we stay in it.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, so we've got it. We need to feel our pain. We need to allow our pain to come out and to be expressed and to be released. But then after a while we either let the pain rule us or we start saying, okay, I'm sort of a bit done with being in this space now. I'm going to start, you know, I'm going to get on with life.
Yeah, I like that. So it's like go through it, feel it, and then decide when you're done.
Yes.
And then have like your tools like gratitude, like yoga or meditation. Yeah.
And it's helps. Just accepting it, isn't it? Mm. Accepting that, okay, I don't feel very good today and that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to feel crappy. Yeah. I'm going to feel sad and angry maybe.
Yes.
And I'm just going to like not force myself to be happy because that's just a negative and a negative.
Yeah.
Like forcing yourself to be another way doesn't make any sense. Mm. But if we just let it flow and then later – will be in this really great space. Whereas if you like bottle it up, it'll just continue to impact us for a very long time in little bits, won't it?
Or so it could like manifest elsewhere.
Yes. Yeah, in so many ways. And then also we recognize that life is good and when it does change because it's just great and smooth all the time.
So true.
Well, we can become a little bit blasé and ungrateful
for it. That's so true. It's like it's trusting, isn't it? Like, is that like surrendering and trusting? Yes. They're similar things. Yeah. But sometimes, like, it can be hard to remember that.
Yeah.
So I think that allowing yourself to feel is good because then eventually you remember it through the feeling.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a new,
I'm like, I don't know what you're doing.
Well, it's a new habit as well.
Yeah.
So you do surrender and then you'll recognize that a new habit's forming. Or, it's like anything, you get better with practice.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you let go, you don't know what the next step is, you don't know what it's all about, but you're going to trust and you're going to trust that somehow this is for the right reasons and not overanalyze it, like paralysis through analysis. Like,
how do we stop doing that though? Because I'm a bit like that. Like, I'll just get stuck in my head.
Well, presence. Through presence.
So living in the now.
Yeah. And like finding the things that help you do
that. We talked about that yesterday.
I mean, yoga is my, like I'll be one person, then come out, boom, another person. I'm like, oh.
Yes, exactly.
So like finding your thing. It might not be yoga. It could be walking on the beach. That's another good one.
Or just creating a habit that makes you stop every now and then and take a breath.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. It's, I mean, the new habits to create, and that's where the wisdom comes in, because we know what we have to do, but to actually keep remembering to do those, the more you do that and it becomes a new habit, then, the more you can actually – be present and allow it to be whatever it's going to be.
Yeah. It's like you can know it, but practicing it, that's the thing. That's the magic. That's
the game changer. Comes.
Yeah. You've got to do it. You can tell me to meditate, but I'm really gonna.
Yeah. It's like everything, isn't it? Eating healthy, exercising,
Well, it's all step by step.
Yeah. You know, little small steps.
Yeah.
We always go on about the small steps. Just little baby steps.
I think it's interesting you're talking about like living a simple life. Mm. Like I love that kind of concept.
Yes.
When did you decide that that's how you wanted to live?
When I was so broke, I had no choice.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And then as I started getting back into the world and earning money, I realized that I didn't actually want all the other stuff that isn't simple, wow. you know. So I was also doing a lot of house sitting and moving anywhere from every few weeks to every few months. Wow. And so I had everything down to 5 or 6 boxes mm-hmm. and driving a little car, a Subaru Fiori, which is about the size of a rice bubble. And so I'd lug everything in, lug everything out. And so anything that would come my way, I'd think, okay, you know, this is another thing. Uh-huh. Is this thing important enough to add to the weight of wow. me lugging it in and out of houses yeah. and stuff like wow. that? And I'd given away everything I'd owned twice, and it was so freeing to not have stuff. But then there is that sense of that yearning for home and my own, the need for my own kitchen and
yeah.
Or the desire for my own kitchen. So, yeah, it was sort of through a combination of those two things that moving house regularly helped me become great at culling and just not accepting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing was when I was so broke, I had no choice but to live simply. And I mean, when I say I was broke, and I did a lot of poverty in my adult years prior to becoming a mum and wow. breaking through this time with the book and everything. So I, you know, I was in the Centrelink system for quite a long time, mm-hmm. really trying to get my act together. But I also went down to the point that I was on food vouchers from the Salvos mm-hmm. and Lifeline and wow. or Vinnie's and stuff. And even so broke that I was trying to work out how to get 2 vouchers, not just 1, because that voucher wasn't going to be enough and,
wow.
you know, all this sort of stuff. And the only clothes I had were what the Salvos gave to me. So it wasn't what I bought at the Salvos. It yeah. was like what the Salvos Whoa. Said. Wow. Okay, go into our Salvo store. You have 2 jumpers, 2 shirts, okay. 2 pairs of trousers. And I'm like, woohoo. And,
yeah.
you know, so I actually went right to the bottom in order to climb out of that. And it yeah. took that for me to realize what receiving is really about.
Mm-hmm.
I was conditioned to just always, you know, be able to look after yourself and be self-sustaining. Mm-hmm. Don't accept help from anyone. And, mm-hmm. and yeah. it doesn't help anyone to be like that. I'm a giver, and I've had so much joy in giving to people. If we can't learn to receive, we deny that other people that pleasure of giving.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You wrote about that in the book, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And also, a thing about receiving is we can also think, okay, well, I'm good at receiving in this part of my life, but I don't want to have to receive in that part of my life. My ego can't handle asking for help in this part. But it's not like that. It's not. We can't be conditional with receiving. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to receive on all levels or the flow's not going to understand the language I'm putting out there.
Such a good reminder for us and everyone.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. About receiving, because, I think women naturally give a lot.
Yes, we do, of course.
We just want to give and give and give, and a lot of women struggle to receive. And I'm men too, but I'm a woman, so that's what I relate to.
Yeah, sure.
But I know, I've struggled to receive. It's been a thing that we've worked on in the business, but as like an individual as well, it's something I struggle with.
Yeah, like we used to say no to help. Like mm-hmm. if people would be like, do you want some help with that? We'd be like, oh, no, we could do it.
Yeah, sure.
Like we're like strong, independent women. Like we're business owners, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. And then like when we heard about this receiving
thing. Yeah, we read more about it.
We're like, oh, we've been saying no.
We're like, let's start saying yes.
It's so much more fun as well and nice.
And you meet more people and you chat, and even if you don't actually end up using whatever they're giving you, like you learn something or you just connect with someone new, like instead of putting this boundary, you get rid of a boundary, I think.
And it's not dictating, it's another form of surrendering, because you're not dictating how things are going to unfold. You're open to receiving however things come to you. So for me, once I became ill, you know, that was a bigger lesson in receiving, and it's been fantastic for me, because it's okay to say, well, like I did when I just arrived here, I handed you the bottle to open for me so that, you know, I don't have to use my teeth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm doing really well with RA now. I'm riding a push bike, I jump on a trampoline.
Amazing.
I could even get up these stairs. I couldn't have done that a few years ago at all. But I also know that I could get this bottle opened, this water bottle for the podcast listeners. but it's much easier for me and my hands or my teeth to just ask for you to open it.
Yeah.
And so instead I just hand it to Emma and it's open. So, the world's a better place if we can learn to let the flow of giving and receiving truly flow.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Okay, everybody listening.
Give and receive.
Let's all practice that this week. That's like, that could be our like thing we focus on.
And it
on.
Might be a thing where it's like, you know, usually there's an imbalance, isn't there? It's like you're either receiving too much maybe or you're giving too much. And it's like being aware of what maybe which one you're in. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to receive one thing this week. Be open to it. Or I'm going to give one thing.
Yes.
And that could be just like a compliment, giving a compliment.
Or time.
Time. I think that's
time's a big gift.
The most amazing resource ever.
Yes. Yeah. But it is an ebb and flow as well. So sometimes we are strong and in a really great place where we can give a lot.
So true.
And then there's other times when, you know, we have to be in receiving mode. In general day-to-day, we can do both. But there's times when we're flying or there's times when we're really down. So we have to at least acknowledge that this is, this is a different sort of ebb and flow at the moment.
Yeah.
And then it all balances out in the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I know someone also spoke about that maybe even within relationships, it's like you might be the giver and they may receive more, but you have to make sure that it's balanced in your like whole circle of relationships.
Yeah, it might not be like that same person gives back to you that you might receive elsewhere.
Yeah, but you might receive like from X amount of people. I don't know, I found that interesting because it's like sometimes it is like within individual relationships, like two people that someone is the more of the giver and one is more of the receiver.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I guess, like mother and child. Like, use that as an example. It's like the mum is probably giving more to the child.
It's like, why are you not getting me dinner ready?
It's your turn to do the dishes.
That would be good.
Oh, funny.
Well, so what do you think is the biggest takeaway from Bloom, like of readers?
I think, for me, there's a lot of takeaways, but the thing that I think is most important is to leave space in your life.
Mm.
Space is my love at the moment. That we can get so caught up in the doing that we forget how to be, and that through being ill, I've learnt that I have limits, but the thing is we all have limits and we think we don't, and we can just keep going. Whereas if we leave some space in between all of it, then we can keep going, but in a really healthy, wholesome way.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you find yourself with 10 minutes to spare, you know, just sit and enjoy watching people go by or hear a bird in the distance or something like that, rather than straight on to scrolling through social media or whatever.
So good. Such good advice.
Yes. Oh. And if we get like cancelled plans or something like that, what I've found is if I honour those plans and don't be tempted to fill them with another thing that needs doing, if I just think, oh, okay, well, I've found myself with an hour to spare here, I'm just going to enjoy it. I'll go for a bike ride, not to get fit or lose weight or anything like that. I'll go for a bike ride because it's a beautiful day and I feel like going for a ride. Or I'll just lie on the trampoline in the sun and look at the clouds or whatever. Or just play with my gorgeous kid.
Mm-hmm.
But if I honour those times with just doing stuff that feels good, and that might just be sitting at the beach and not even walking on the beach, whatever, life then provides shortcuts to the solutions that I'm looking for anyway.
Wow.
So it's like they'll, you know, life will give me the answer I need, or it will just show me that or I'll run into someone who I've been trying to meet up with for ages and it's just got too hard with our schedules and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. It's just flowed to us naturally. So for me, I mean, there's so much in Bloom, but surrendering brings immense relief and freedom when you can truly surrender to allowing the moment to be whatever it is, and just value the gift of space, because it's actually a lot more magical than it's given credit for.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that so much. And we spoke about it this afternoon.
Well, because we were talking about it because we were like, we've got to make sure we touch
on space.
On space. Yeah.
And we've talked about it like so many times since our lunch. Like, we're like, oh, space. Oh, and like that cancelled. Okay, let's not fill it with anything. Like, let's just like be. And I just think that's just the best
thing ever that I've ever heard, yeah. I think.
And I think because, you know, today we are connected to these little things called our mobile phones and laptops. Like, we're always on. We're always connected digitally, like, electronically. Like, sometimes it's just like you want to chuck the phone. Like, it's just like, get away. Like, I just, I need, like, it's like, me and Kyle both deleted our Facebook apps off our phones.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, it was too much. Yeah. It was just like, what am I doing? I'm literally probably spending hours and hours scrolling.
The only space, the only thing we did with the space that we had was scroll.
Yeah.
And so, like, deleting that app has now meant that the space is not filled. And I think that that's so amazing. And it was just from deleting an app.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't serving us whatsoever.
It doesn't. And it actually, like, that space, I bet it's made your life more manageable in other ways. It's,
I feel so calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It's. You can't believe it until you start acknowledging it. And the more space that you, the more you respect the space you're given, the more you're given.
Mm.
And it just, and then those shortcuts keep coming, and life helps you along because you're leaving space for it to do so.
Yeah. It's like,
diminish the overwhelm. Mm. Like, that's what it's done.
Yeah. And stop forcing, like, just have the space and let it flow.
Yeah,
and
don't strive, just allow. Yeah. You know, and when you do that, you know when to take action.
Yeah.
We all still have to take action, but we also, if we dare to step away and because a lot of the action can be from fear, you know, through fear. So if you surrender and just allow it to be, you'll know when it's time to take action, and your action will be really productive.
I love that so much.
I love it all.
Oh, I love everything.
I know we've talked a little bit about intuition and heart. How do you connect with your intuition, in your opinion?
Well, I honour it. When it speaks, I honour it, regardless of how much my head sometimes might say, but maybe I'll just try this. No, I really don't want to do this. You're telling me to do this, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to.
Wow.
Because I've learned the hard way if I don't.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you can really do the long way around or cause a lot of unnecessary hurt or learning or wasted energy if you don't.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just been just knowing that I have to do certain things and not understanding why, but trusting. And so, again, it's a practice thing.
As
your relationship with which, you know, your intuition is your heart's voice, and your relationship with that deepens the more you honor it.
Yeah.
So where I'm at the moment, in a month I'm doing some events, but after that I'm actually taking some time off, and I don't know what that time's about, but I know that the whole journey of Bloom, the 5 years of it, and has been enormous for me, and I just want some time off to get back to my creativity being free, to let the creativity tell me what it wants rather than me having to create a product out of whatever comes through.
Yes.
And that's not to say I won't down the track, but I just want some space. I need some more space just to have and just to be. So I've actually said no to a lot of opportunities in the first few months after the events because my intuition is just saying, just fill yourself up with just some sunshine and just, you know, time to read some novels or something and just hang out with Eleanor without trying to squeeze too much in.
Yeah,
love that. So that, you know, that's an intuitive process. I don't know what lies ahead then. I don't know, you know, you can think, oh, have I got enough money to do it that way or whatever. But I just know that it will be worth it down the track because it will bring me to a new place of readiness. So I'll come in at a different level again. And that will be a shortcut rather than striving, trying to force things and think, what am I doing next? Got to do this, got to do that. I just think, no, I'm just going to step away for a while. And when I'm ready, I'll just come in and I'll be full. I'll be giving from a place of overflow instead of a place of three quarters empty or whatever.
Wow.
Love it.
Oh, my gosh. And doesn't that just sound so enjoyable? Like, rather than, like, trying to figure out what is your next step?
It just is like, it's like stressing out about your next step and what's your next thing and what is it going to be? Mm. Like, just let it happen. Like, take
space. Be patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, patient.
Patient.
And it takes a lot of courage.
That's what I'm right.
Financially, you know.
Yeah.
So true, yeah.
So courageous.
And yeah, but it comes. It always comes.
It always does, doesn't it? It's like you don't have to be stressed. Like who says that we have to be stressed?
Mm.
Like for some reason everyone thinks like you have to be like, you know, like wired. Like I feel that. And it's like, you know what? Like we've been stressed at times about money and stuff. And then we've been like, see what happens. And it always works out, like always.
And like often, like I know, Bronnie, you saw a post that we posted once that sometimes we feel like we're not doing enough because like it's almost like I've been enjoying my life too much that I feel bad. Like that, I haven't drank too much because I've been really calm and I've been like not stressed. Like,
I've been to yoga way too much.
And it's like, hang on a second, Carla. Like,
that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Like that you haven't been in overwhelm and you haven't been stressed and freaking out about money or whether like this is going to happen.
Yeah. How funny. I mean, I learn it. I relearn the lessons over and over until it just becomes more natural to be the other way.
Yeah.
And we do live in a society that glorifies busy.
Yes.
And that's ridiculous. I mean, what is that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be able to say I'm loving life. You know, people say, well, how's your life? Oh, no, I don't want to say, oh, it's just so busy. I didn't have time to do anything. It was fantastic. I stopped and I breathed and I experienced it. I want to experience it, not just see it go by now.
Yeah. You had time to look at the sky and the clouds and the sun, like the smell stars. The clouds.
Maybe don't look at the sun, but
I always think that, like just admire what's around you.
Yeah. Yes. I love it.
So many so good much, messages.
So
doing
many.
This.
I know. It's just like, wow. And it makes you just think, life is magical.
Yeah, it definitely is. Before we wrap up, I reckon we need to talk about these events.
Yeah, me too.
So if you're free at the time,
make sure you get to them. So Bronnie's going to chat to us about her events, which are coming up this week is the first one.
I know.
Yeah, on Thursday the 4th.
Of May.
Yeah, Thursday 4th of May in Brisbane. And then the 6th, Saturday the 6th of May in Melbourne, good old Melbourne town. And then the 18th of May, Thursday the 18th of May in Sydney, and finishing on Saturday the 20th of May in Perth.
Amazing.
And they're going to be really – they're going to be beautiful. They're going to be like nothing that's out there. They're a combination of a personal growth event and an inspirational talk, but they also include a little bit of meditation, a little bit of workshop in the sense that bring a notebook because we'll do a few written exercises. But there's also music and there's also community energy happening that will be happening where it's just there's a lot there and it's about creating a regret-free life and looking at the tools that we need to create a regret-free life and how to be gentle on ourselves. But it's learning it in a because, you know, human connection is such an important part of our happiness and our joy. So we can learn all this stuff online or in a book on our own, but this is done in a really loving, fun, beautiful environment where you actually feel that these are tools that you can take home, not just feel inspired from an event and then the next day think, oh, that was great, but now I've got no idea what I'm going to do next. You'll have an idea what to do next.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's they've been a long time coming. My own readiness and timing wasn't right, and I'm just looking so forward to getting people off their computers, into this beautiful energy and the atmosphere that we're creating, and and just having some fun. And
totally. It sounds
doing our thing.
Amazing.
I think events are just next level. Like, I mean,
we always talk about how good events are.
Because you meet people in real life and you meet people you're not necessarily going to meet walking down the street or at the coffee shop, and you're not going to have these conversations with these people. I don't know, we've just formed some of the most amazing magical relationships from events.
Mm-hmm. Through the shared experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's always a common interest in that.
Yes. So if anyone is free on those dates, make sure you grab your tickets. We're going to put the links in the show notes so you can directly go and check them out in your city. It was Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney and Perth.
That's right.
That's right. Yes. And I think you guys are going to love it. We saw Bronnie talk and it was amazing. So yeah. That was only for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
so this is the whole event. So
it's
yeah.
a 3-hour event.
Yeah,
3 hours.
So like, this is going to be next level kind of stuff. Now, Bronnie, we have one last question for you.
Sure.
But before we get to that, where is your website? Where so, everyone should be
on the internet.
On the internet. In the world?
It's Bronnie Ware. So Bronnie is like Bonnie with an R in it. Bronnie. And Ware as in like Bunnings Warehouse. So it's spelled that way. Or you could look at it with a huge oversight from my mother when she named me B Ware. So
oh!
But I'm also BMW, so I've got a bit of class.
I love that.
So Bronnie Ware, bronnieware.com.
Perfect. Awesome. And that link as well will be in the show notes too, so go and check it out. Now, Bronnie, if there was a overall mantra that either today's conversation is about or your life was about, what would it be?
That the greatest show of gratitude we can give to life is to enjoy it as fully as possible.
Love it.
Do you want to say it one more time?
I missed the start. On Instagram. Instagram. I can't remember it off my heart.
Wait
1 second, guys. Podcast listeners, just bear with us for one moment. Okay, let's say it again.
Drum roll.
The mantra that Bronnie would like to share today is?
I can't remember the exact word.
It's Emma.
The greatest show of appreciation we can give to life is to enjoy it as fully as possible.
Love it. Yeah. I love it so, so much. And Bronnie,
that is what social media does. It stuffs the flow.
Yeah, it does. See what happened there? Get off your phones.
But it also adds humour.
It does. Bronnie, we're so grateful for you coming into our studio today and sharing this space. Like, it has been, I don't know, like, I just feel like this hour has flown by, but it's been filled with, like, just magicalness.
And it's like this calm.
Yeah,
I feel so calm.
It's like this very calm energy.
Thank you. Bless you both for what you do as well and what you bring to the world. You know, I just love the joy that you radiate. So thank you both. It's been an absolute pleasure. No.
Thank you, Bronnie.
We love you.
And thank you, listeners.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you so much.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.